Psalm 34, verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant. Their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate righteous shall be condemned. But the Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. I just believe there's quite a lot that will help us as individuals and help the nation. And we're going to look at another passage where God's people in a very difficult time looked to the Lord. It's one of the great lessons of the followers of Jehovah in the Old Testament is they faced many problems. There were many things that happened to them. Some were of their own doing, some were not. But yet there were on many, many instances there were leaders and others that in a time of great trouble they turned their attention to God. And they knew that what God had done in the past and how he had saved Israel and Judah, that same God would be there again. And obviously it is very challenging and it is very tough that just a Sunday ago we came dressed in attire to celebrate and every song was about rejoicing, and 7 days later there's a completely different service, a different reason. But yet, while Zambia has lost a president, we have not lost the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He still remains on the throne, and he still rules over all. And while our life and all of us, our life is a tenure, and it starts and it stops, thank God for the Ancient of Days, the Alpha, the Omega, who lives and reigns over us. And I just want to speak to a few things and things that maybe questions, things that I think people have said or heard. And maybe some are saying, well, has God forgotten Zambia? God, you only gave us a few days to celebrate Jubilee, and yet now we've lost a president. All of that celebration has stopped instantly. Has God forgotten Zambia? Is God upset with Zambia? Is this some type of punishment or judgment? Others have said perhaps God was upset with the president himself and this was punishment. And folks, I would ask you to, in every area of your life, and including this one, we must ascertain the will of God and the character of God from the Bible and not the newspaper. We do not interpret the will of God based on what has happened. We interpret the will and the character of God based on who he is from these pages. And it is a tough part of life that when we see who God is and we see his will for us and for mankind, that sometimes reality is different from what we see from whom the person of Jesus Christ came to show as who God is. So I'd ask you that just because something happens on planet Earth doesn't necessarily mean that it's God's will. When you look at the Bible in its entirety and God's dealing with man, God is constantly and consistently working with us to come to his level and to do things his way. And I would also ask you that it doesn't seem that God has any need for us to be kind of earthly investigators. Why did this happen? What's the meaning behind it? I've never seen in the Bible that God asks us to do that. And yet, it just seems like we have this appetite as human beings to say, here's the reason. I think this is the reason. Well, why don't we just allow God to still be God? Why don't we also realize that obviously the president was 77 years old. He was battling an illness. And I think most of us have lived long enough to realize that sometimes when someone is 77 years old and they're battling an illness, that they die. And it is sad. And it is tragic. And it is obviously even more sad that he did not get to finish the work that he wanted to do. And things that he wanted to see and things that were in his platform. And it's even more sad and more tragic. It would be easier to experience had he done what he felt like he needed to do, and then he was retired, and then he passed away. But let's not answer questions that God's not asking. Amen? And let's allow the pages of Scripture to speak to us. What we do know from the Word of God in the psalm that we read is that God will deliver us from trouble. And as we, obviously there's a couple things that are pressing on our hearts today, and one is the loss of a leader and the loss of someone who was popular enough to win the last election. And so people, that upsets them. Another trouble is what's going to happen in the next 90 days. There's a uncertainty, and there is not necessarily a clear path or a clear answer of what is Zambia going to look like in 90 days from now. Again, let's get our information, our promises from God's word, and let's not allow the circumstances of what we see and what we experience to overcome our faith in God. And as much as we were rejoicing last week because of what God had done for the nation, and we talked a lot last week that we believe that God's plan has not yet finished and that there is more things to be done, we must maintain that faith even in the midst of what we're experiencing. Amen? It is sad. It is unfortunate, as Pastor Benjamin mentioned, that while the nation has lost a president, the Sata family has lost a leader in that family. I think all of us probably, if you watched any bit of news yesterday, to see the First Lady and the pain that she's going through. Many of the family members, they didn't lose just a president, but they lost a loved one. And they knew him before he was president. And they would have known him after he was president. And they lost a dad. And they lost a grandfather. They lost an uncle. I was watching the news, and they were interviewing one of his aunties. There's a lot of family members who are hurting and suffering. Some of those family members are represented in our church. And so there is a national tragedy, a national mourning, but there's also a family that is very broken, and we can come in with love and support and our prayers. Loss is a very traumatic thing for human beings to experience. And we experience loss in various capacities in our life. And sometimes we might lose money or we lose a job. But when we lose a person, it's the most traumatic loss of all. Because you can get another job. You can get more money. But the person who has left is never coming back. There's never another conversation. I would imagine even in these next elections that are going to take place, it will be very, very odd and very different for there not to be President Michael Sata campaigning. For many of you, you can't remember a campaign that he wasn't there. He wasn't involved in. So a loss of a person means that something, someone who was with us is now gone. And thank God for heaven. And I believe that's why the Bible says that we mourn as those who have hope that there is more to this life than this life. And for believers in Jesus, there is a reunion. And there is a time where we will see someone again. But at the same time, I know for me, I've got a whole lot more of life to be lived. And there's so many occasions and so many different things. And I'll tell my wife, I wish my dad was here. I wish he could see this. I wish he could experience this. But you can't replace that. And so the loss of a human being, the loss of someone at the table, the loss of governance in Zambia without President Sata is very different. And it is going to be new for many, many people. Obviously, it's sad because he was a democratically elected president. Millions of people said, he's my guy. He's the one that I want to lead us. And yet that choice was supposed to be for 5 years and it was cut short. It's a loss. It's a loss. Now, God has not forsaken this nation. God's plans have not changed. Now, I want you to turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And when you look at the nation of Israel, that later after Solomon's son, because of some decisions he made, it became a divided kingdom, and it was Israel and Judah, two different nations. And if you look at their history throughout the Word of God, God's will, God's plan, never changed. It was always good. And yet, they faced many, many challenges. Again, some were because of mistakes that they made. Others were because of external enemies, things and attacks. But yet God's will remained the same. And so Judah in 2 Chronicles 20 had a very godly leader, Jehoshaphat. And they were facing an invasion from three different nations, three different groups of people had their sights set on Judah. And from a military point of view, it did not look good. If the London bookies were going to place some money, it would have been a 1,001 odds that Judah was going to survive this. They did not have the military might to overcome what was against them. But what they did have was they had their God. They had Jehovah. And so it's in this context that Jehoshaphat is looking to the Lord and he's praying and he's recognizing what is happening, but he also makes another decision that is very, very important. 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 5, it says, "Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers. So one of the most important things that he did was he looked to God. He turned his attention to his God. Are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God, who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? And they dwelt in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now, here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt. But they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are, rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this multitude that is coming against us. I'm so glad Jehoshaphat did not finish his prayer right there. We don't have power to do this, God. But he didn't. He put a comma. Nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. And you see, when your eyes are upon him, that changes everything. Now, Jehoshaphat was fully aware of the facts. Jehoshaphat had been reading the newspaper. He had been listening to his advisors. And right now in Zambia, we are aware that today things do not look necessarily stable or good. There are things that would cause us to perhaps cause our heart to skip a beat, cause us to wonder what is the future going to look like. But I want to invite you, in fact, I want to just ask you, command you as your pastor. Yes, we're aware of what's going on, but our eyes are on him. There have been too many people in the history of this nation who have kept their eyes on Jesus in difficult circumstances. There have been too many people who have lived and died in this nation who have looked to the Lord Jesus Christ for us as this current generation to now start wringing our hands to say, oh, what are we going to do? No, our eyes are on him. Why? Because of what he is able to do. Our eyes are on him. Our eyes are on our God, because it is he who works in a troubled world. God works in the midst of chaos. God works in the midst of problems. And so when Jesus began to show his disciples, here's a framework of a prayer that you can use. Because his disciples said, Lord, teach us how to pray like you do. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You see, there is a will, there is a kingdom, but it's up to us to pray. It's up to us to act and to behave and to cooperate with God for that kingdom and that will to be done here. And part of that prayer, I think, is a very, very clear explanation that what's happening here is not always the will of God. Otherwise, we wouldn't have to waste our breath to pray, your will be done as it is in heaven. Jesus would have said, well, don't worry about that part, because everything that happens on the earth is already the will of God. It's not. And so therefore, we pray. We seek the Lord. We look to the Lord. And when we say amen, then we act and we live for the Lord. And we live out the prayers that we're praying. So God invites us to seek him, to look to him. He invites us to believe. Jesus made this statement. And he said, when the Son of Man returns to the earth, will he find faith here? Will he find faith on the earth? I believe he's finding faith in Zambia. I believe that as God looks down, he's seeing a large number of people today on this Sunday morning that's saying, yes, our hearts are heavy. Yes, there's disappointment. There might even be unanswered questions. But when God says, I see faith rising from this nation that just celebrated Jubilee. Yes, it's a young nation. Yes, it's only 50 years old. Oh, but there are prayers of faith that are arising. There's a whole group of people. There are many, many churches across our nation that are standing in faith. Lord, our eyes are on you. He asks us to believe. He asks us to stand in faith. I believe that we can ask God for a leader who will cooperate with God's plan. It's another lesson that we see in the Old Testament, is that there were certain leaders, and you see people like Ahab and Jezebel and other people that they didn't make it to Hebrews 11 as people who were men and women of faith. They opposed the will of God. And when you look at the history book, not just the Bible, but when you look in the world history, unfortunately, history records people who actively opposed the will of God for their nation. And yet, both the Bible and the history book shows other leaders that while they may have not been perfect, and they weren't Jesus Christ in the flesh, they aligned their heart, they aligned their decisions and their policies with the will of God. The will of God. And I know we take this for granted, that in this nation that has so much Christianity, and it's just such a privilege, and it is just so awesome to be able to go into Pick and Pay and ShopRite and here's Hillsong, or Donnie McClurkin, and all just praise and worship. And when President Sata, within the first few days of when he was elected, says, you know, I'm gonna govern this nation according to the Ten Commandments. I hope you realize that the country of my birth, President of the United States, would not be allowed to say that. He would be sued. He would be ostracized. He'd be fired instantly. No, you're not tolerant enough. And so this nation has such an incredible heritage and history of Jesus. And I believe we can say, God, we're seeking you. Lord, we're looking to you. But Father, we ask for a leader that, as long as they're leading, God, that they would have a heart for what matters to you. Father, that they would be able to have wisdom that comes from heaven. And they might not go to the same church as us. They might not say everything exactly perfectly, but they're aligned to the will of God. They're aligned to God's plan for this nation. And the thing that I see that is so evident and so amazing in the nation of Zambia is God has a will for this nation. Oh, and it's bigger than you think. It's bigger than what you've seen. And again, thank God for the last 50 years. But the next 50 years are going to be even more glorious. And yes, it's a bit of a surprise. It's not what people were hoping or planning for, that pretty quick this next 50 years will be started by a leader with elections that we weren't planning for. But I want to caution you also as believers and as we go forward is, sometimes people make a statement like this. Well, Lord, we're just putting this in your hands. Father, we believe that you're going to sort this out. Lord, you know, this is in your hands. Well, the problem is Jesus said it's in your hands. To say that this is in God's hands is a very passive and unbiblical way of thinking, living, and praying. Okay? What did Jesus say in Matthew 16? He said, I will give you, that's people here on earth, followers of Jesus, disciples, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth, it will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose or allow on earth will be loosed in heaven. He repeated this two chapters later in Matthew 18. He said, assuredly, I say to you that whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth, everybody say on earth. See, the prayers have to come from the earth. The binding and loosing, I recognize as charismatics, maybe we take binding and loosing a little too far. And, you know, we bind calories and we loose love from our spouse or, you know. But there is a biblical principle that the keys of the kingdom, when Jesus left, he said, I conquered death, hell, and the grave. And therefore, now go in my name with my authority. Few of us as clergy, as pastors, were invited to receive the president's body at the airport yesterday. And there was a massive, massive military and police presence. And I'm very, very proud of so many of we've got folks here at Miracle Life that helped lead some of that process, and they just did a fantastic job. And that, isn't it amazing the job that they do during some of these tough times? But the fact is, none of them were acting in their own capacity. None of them had their positions because they were smart or good-looking or big. Some of them were big. But they were there because they had been authorized by the president and by the constitution of this land to stand in the office that they were. And so when people in uniform told people, you go there, we went where they said to go because they had the authority in that situation to tell everybody what to do. And I did find it interesting that they were even telling politicians what to do. You over here, you over there. Because they had the authority. They had the authority. And so thank God that God is the sovereign God over all the earth. But he's authorized you. He's delegated you. Whatever you bind on earth, it'll be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose, it'll be. And when you come together and agree in my name, I'll do what you pray. And so today also is a call to prayer. Pastor Wim, would you come? And we're going to share just a couple scriptures with you, and we're going to pray. And this isn't going to be the last time that we pray, and there's some things that moving forward for the next 90 days that I believe God has called Miracle Life to do in the avenue, in the arena of prayer. Do you need a microphone? But it's under this capacity that prayer is not just a religious exercise. And for me, at some point in my life, it was. Just go through the motions. No, prayer is partnering with God for his will and for his purpose to be done on planet Earth. So there's a couple things that we're going to pray specifically about today as a church family. And then we're going to give you some instruction a little bit later for the weeks that are going to be coming up. Thanks. I just Pastor Wim had shared these, and I just thought it was very pertinent that we look at these as a church family as well.
Hallelujah. It's time to pray. Pastor said something. He said, we shall not allow circumstances to quench our faith. Because faith is what we remain with after everything else is gone. We're going to pray today. And the book that Pastor was reading, the book of Psalms, Psalms 34, verse 17 says, "The righteous cry out and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." When the Lord is close to you in time of trouble, He does not simply come and pat you on the back and say, "You know, I know the trouble you're going through. I know I gave, now I've taken. I know, I'm just close to you. I know what you're going through." No, that's not what He does come to do. He comes to make a difference. When the Lord is near, He comes to uplift you. When the Lord is near, He comes to shed the light where there is darkness. When the Lord is near, He comes to make a huge difference. It's so weird. You know, when I first heard that our president is dead, first I was frustrated. Where else have you heard in the world? I'm still searching. In the space of 6 years, you lose two heads of state, heads of state. And I begin to grumble in my heart. And the Lord said, wait a minute. What's the problem with you now? What's the problem with you now? It's like I'm saying, I've lost the hope. Nothing is going to happen now. Is this the way we're going to be? Are we going to lose the next one? And the Lord said, wait a minute. What are you talking about? Do you know the future of this nation? You may have a few ideas about the past, but do you know the future of this nation? And the Bible says in the book of Psalms, chapter 50. The book of Psalms, chapter 50. Verse 15, and say, "And call on me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you will honor me." Call on me in the day of trouble. Don't grumble. Don't mum. He doesn't say, "Call on me," he doesn't say, "Come and chat with me. Oh, come and share your story with me." He says, "Call on me." That word, "call on me," is an invitation to prayer. And the Lord is saying here, when He says, "Call on me." How many people know that the call to prayer does not originate with man? It originates with God. And for your own information, when the Lord says call, it's a command. It's not a request. Mm-hmm. Call upon me. Yeah. You know why God would so openly say, "Call upon me"? You know why you'd say that? Because we can trust Him. Amen. Because He's kept. When God calls, when God asks a question, He's got something to do with your answer. Call on me. Because He trusts Himself. Because He knows what He's able to do. Because He knows His capability. He knows He's able to do much more than we can ever dream. Because He knows the extent of your trouble. Do you know the extent of our trouble does not really shake God? He's a God. And today we're going to pray, "Call on me and I will deliver you." I will deliver you from what? I will deliver you from, because in a situation like this, it's very easy for us to focus just on what is happening. To focus on pity, to focus on grief, to focus on pain, to focus on brokenness, to focus on tears, to focus on complaining, to focus on finger pointing. It's easy for us to remain there without seeing even a few meters away from us. I say, "Call upon me. I will deliver you from all those, the fear. I will deliver you from the uncertainty. I will deliver you from all this murmuring. I will deliver you from this faithless situation so that you look unto me." Amen. So in a day of trouble, call upon me. So that when you know you're walking in darkness, I'll come and make a difference because I'll shed light. Amen. In the darkest hour, the Lord is our light. Amen.
Amen, amen.
And today, God is saying, call upon me in the day of trouble. If losing two presidents in 6 years is not a trouble for the nation, I call it a big trouble. I say, call upon me in a day like that. I'll come and make a difference. I think today we're going to pray. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I believe there is something in you that calls for prayer. There is something in you that believes with me that God answers prayer. There is something in you that agrees with me that when we come before him, he will not forsake us. A broken heart, he will mend and fix. The heart of Zambia has been broken, but God will fix it. Call upon me. Today we're going to call on him. I do not want us as a church, starting from the church, to look at what has happened and call ourselves unfortunate. I was just listening to BBC and reading some current affairs somewhere. Right now in Africa, there is a country where the head of state has simply stepped down because of pressure from people. They took to the street. They have got no electricity. There is just chaos. They put somebody else, and people said, this is not the person we want to be. Now, that is not going to happen to Zambia. Hallelujah. From here, we have lost our head of state. Can I tell you something good? There is a David somewhere. He will take us to the promised land. We have lost the head of state. We haven't lost hope. We haven't lost faith. We haven't lost God. We haven't lost Jesus. We haven't lost the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Could we all stand up and talk to this God in the name of Jesus Christ and raise hope? Glory be to God. Glory be to God. We're not going to look at the wounds, the snake bite, and remain there. No, we will look to the cross where our answers come from.
With every head bowed, every eye closed, we're talking about our future and your future. And maybe during this time of prayer, maybe your relationship with God is not okay. And you were looking at people and they were talking to God and having confidence in their Father, and you realized, I don't. Perhaps you don't know Jesus. You don't have a relationship with him. See, it doesn't happen. A relationship with Jesus doesn't happen because you went to a church, you were baptized. Relationship with Jesus starts when you receive him personally. You confess him as your Lord and as your Savior. Maybe you're here today and you're backslidden. Maybe you're a believer, but your heart is cold toward God and there's a lot of rebellion and sin. Friend, you can come home today. God loves this nation. He loves you. He loves you as an individual. He has a plan for your life, but that plan will only unfold when you're connected to him. And that's only through Jesus Christ. Only through Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I don't know Jesus, but I want to. I would like to have a relationship with him. I'm backslidden, but I need to come home. If that's you today, just lift up your hand, wave it at me. Say, Pastor, that's me. I need to know Jesus Christ. I don't want to leave this place not knowing him. If that's you, just lift up your hand. Thank you, sister. Anybody else? Anybody else? Say, that's me. I need to know Jesus. Over there in the back, yes. Anyone else? Over here, thank you. Right now, those of you who lifted up your hand, or you should have lifted up your hand, you know, I just feel this tug in my heart. I'd ask you right now just to grab your Bible, any belonging that you brought with you, your handbag, and just come and meet me up front. I want to pray with you. God is going to do exactly what he said he'll do. He will come into your life. He'll make all things new. So just come and meet me up front. Let's give these folks a big, big hand clap as they're coming. Awesome. God bless you, man. Jesus loves you. He loves you, and he has a good plan for your life. Awesome. Awesome, awesome. God bless you, man. He loves you. He loves you. Anybody else? Yeah, over here. Wonderful. It's a great, great day to know Jesus. It's a great day to know him. God bless you. God bless you. All right. Now, this Bible that I have in my hand, if I wanted you to have it, how would you get it? Right? You would reach out and you'd receive. And faith towards God is just that. It receives what God has already paid for and provided for you. And so salvation and forgiveness and a brand new life, you can't earn it, but you do. You must receive that. And so I'd ask you, just lift up one of your hands towards heaven, and because God is the answer. And let's pray to him right now. Say, God, I believe that you love me, that you sent Jesus Christ to die in my place. I give you my heart, my whole life. I turn away from sin, from wrong things. I follow you now. Thank you, Jesus. You live inside of me. I am a brand new person. I am in your family. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, 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 amen. Wonderful, awesome.